Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us on the line from New York is Avremi Gurari. Avremi, good morning to you. Well, I don't know what time of day it is there.
Well, it's already morning, Howard.
So we're good. To you. Good morning. It's obviously I've been following this story. This has been a journey that you have been on for many, many years. Give us some context as to how it has been for you to go public with this, to talk about this, and why you have been motivated to do so.
So, thank you for inviting me on, that's number one. I think you're referring to the time after my daughter passed on December 22nd. Mm. And it's very interesting why I decided to go public. It was organic in a way, in the sense that I would never have expected myself to do so. I'm naturally not necessarily a positive person, but I realized that I have a choice. I can disappear and sleep all day and go negative, or like my daughter did, who had helped many people in her lifetime get treatment and different kinds of assistance, I would emote, I would write about it. And I found that process to be very, very cathartic. It encouraged a lot of people to speak up, and discussions started around the neighborhood, around Brooklyn, around New York, around the world. Strangers reaching out to me, having many important discussions about mental health, about eating disorders. Lots of parents would call me up with their own personal private stories, which was an interesting thing in and of itself, how they would trust me with their information, and I would always tell them I'm not a professional therapist by any means, but they felt comfortable talking with me for some reason. And it started that way, and the response was amazing. So I just continued, and I continue to this day. It helps me, it helps others, and
well, we just seem to have a little bit of a problem with the line. Avremi, can you hear us? We're going to get Avremi back. Where there does seem to be some problem with the line. It is 8:16, and of course we're talking about teenage suicide awareness. Yocheved wasn't a teenager; she was in her early 20s, but this problem obviously started through her teenagehood. Talking about eating disorders, anxiety, depression, the associated unfortunate afflictions of this disease. Let's try that again, Avremi. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here now.
Right. So how prevalent a problem is the whole eating disorder? Because it doesn't stand alone, does it? It comes with depression, anxiety, all sorts of other things. But eating disorder, how common is it?
I think it's very common, more common than it's ever been. And it's the most misunderstood mental health disease. As you may know, it has the highest mortality rate. Mm. And it's misunderstood in the sense that people assume that it's a starter disease, where it's not. It's really a symptom of something else, mm. something that's much deeper. Usually depression, anxiety. In my daughter's case, there was a lot of self-harm involved as well, which we only found out couple years into her disease. So, and I've spoken to a therapist here in New York, and they all tell me it's more common than it's ever been. And, the reasons we can speculate. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's about social media, body image, this trying to attain perfection, or is that a rabbit hole that we, or a red herring maybe?
Well, I think social media plays into it in a very big way. Mm-hmm. But to be honest with you, the process that I've undergone has been about prevention, not so much about answers.
Right.
And I think we have to go back to how we raise our children from the age of 5 or 6, and how we expose them to the internet, and how we enable them to have interpersonal relationships that are meaningful and so on. And in today's electronic age, this is very difficult. I'm not an expert. I'll tell everyone I'm not an expert. Mm, mm. But I think it really plays in, it must play into it in some way. Exposure to, you go ahead.
So what should change in how we raise our children? In fact, we were having this conversation on Shabbat. We were having this on Saturday. I was chatting to my 22-year-old son, and he said, Dad, as a parent, what are you meant to do if your young child maybe is overeating or not eating enough? How do you not focus on it? As a parent, you have to. And I actually didn't know the answer. How do we change how we focus on our children? And I do think that we have to be careful with our boys as well. It's not just a girl thing, even though maybe it's more prevalent there. How do we change how we bring up our children in this way in order to prevent this?
Well, I think that when it gets to that stage, then therapy is in order. Mm. And then we have to leave it to the professionals. The question is, how did we get there to begin with? Mm. And let's go back to social media and the internet. And I think lots of times the mistakes we make as parents is that we have to realize that as parents, we are not the friends of our children. Our children are not our friends. We have to show them attention. We have to educate them, train them how to be resilient. And a lot of times this process is messy. So if we're just their friends, whatever they want, we give them. In the end, they may come back to bite us. So I'm not an expert on how to treat eating disorder, although I will say to all those that are listening that if unfortunately you do encounter that in your family, do all you can to research it, learn about it, study about it, because it's terribly, terribly misunderstood. And it's very easy for us, especially as fathers. I've been told by therapists that fathers are fixers, and we just want to like fix it. You know, oh, you're not eating? Well, eat. You know, it's not that simple.
It's a simple solution. Yeah, you can cure it. Just eat.
Yeah. Mm. I've even heard from some fathers who are quite dogmatic. Well, I'll take her over a barrel and I'll just push food down her throat. Mm. Well, it doesn't work that way. Obviously, I'm talking about in my daughter's case, who was anorexic. There are other kinds of eating disorders, as you know.
Mm. I'd like to hear from you, 34519 or 0618951019. Is there something that you are struggling with in your family, in your greater family, friends of yours? Is there something that you are seeing, and how is it that you are confronting it? Are you confronting it? Are you dealing with it, or are you hoping that it simply will go away? I'd love your thoughts. I'd love your questions for Avrami, who has been through this. How long has it been? I mean, I know that she passed away in December, but that wasn't the beginning of it.
The journey was 10 years, multiple hospitalizations, residential facilities, outpatient facilities. The interesting thing in her case that she was super successful as a person, academically very motivated, and she wanted to get better. She was very motivated to get better. But in the end, the illness just won her over, and she could not. Mm. But she was very motivated to get better. That's you know, clear from our conversations, our correspondence, therapists, and so on. She did the hard work.
Was it possible for you to see this as a pure illness and not find yourself succumbing to anger and frustration that she wasn't getting better and ultimately didn't?
Oh, anger played a large role in this. And as I'm learning from therapists that I'm consulting with, you know, if I wouldn't be angry, there'd be something wrong with me, because, you know, then I'd just be kind of an anomaly, because every parent gets angry, and especially if you have a child who's not responding to treatment and so on. So there's a lot of frustration, a lot of anger, a lot of anger at myself, even anger at my daughter for, you know, this is what they're telling you to do. Just, you know, follow the instructions and you'll become better. And she would often cry to me and say, I'm trying my best. I'm really trying to follow the instructions. And sometimes it works, and sometimes the disease is so systemic and so deep that they are unable to fight off the demons that of whatever it is, body image, self image, control. Eating disorder has a lot to do with control, feeling, pain, self-harm, you know, feeling pain and so on. In her case, she didn't want to get treatment for eating disorder. She'd rather have treatment for depression because she felt that her eating disorder was something that she could have control over.
Yeah, you are a very active member of the Chabad community. You grew up within that community. You live in an area that is a very predominantly Jewish religious area. How has that played into it? How what has the reaction been to you being quite public about this and dealing with it out in the open?
Okay, so first of all, Howard, I grew up a block and a half away from you, just to correct
you. Yeah, I know, but you were much more religious.
Even though I live now in New York.
Exactly. You chose the Brooklyn route, let's not kid.
The Brooklyn route, exactly. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So I live in Crown Heights, which mm-hmm. is the seat of Chabad. Mm-hmm. And the response to our predicament has been overwhelmingly positive. Overwhelmingly positive. I noticed, for example, after my daughter's first suicide attempt, actually right before her first suicide attempt, we went out for an evening one night, and she was wearing pants underneath a skirt. And I thought at the time, you know, even though, you know, us as Chabad next, we don't wear, you know, the girls don't wear pants. But I thought to myself, this is ridiculous. She's suffering. Let the girl dress the way she wants to. Mm-hmm. And then she had a suicide attempt. And in the hospital, I said to her, you know, Yecheved, I think you should start wearing pants. I'm encouraging you to dress the way you want to dress. And you could visibly see the burden get lifted off her shoulders. And when she came back to Crown Heights, she bought a new wardrobe. I told her I'd go down the streets of Crown Heights and protect her and defend her if anyone would, you know, criticize us. And just the opposite happened. People realized that, you know, she needed that support. And family and friends and community only love and support. So
that's massive. Because it's
positive experience.
And as a result of that, it also gives people the springboard and families the springboard to be able to talk about things that they might not have had the opportunity or the skills to be able to talk about until now.
I would hope so. And people are reaching out and, the discussion is escalating. There's a wonderful organization in Crown Heights called Neshamas, which is, you know, just spurring the discussion on, talk about mental health in general and these topics like, eating disorder. A lot of eating disorder patients who live in Crown Heights have reached out to me and, just learning more and more every day about what's going on in the community. And, it's unbelievable, you know, stuff I never knew.
Unfortunately, we do need to wrap it up. We don't have a lot of time.
Sure.
Joan says, heartbreaking. It's an illness cloaked in mystery still. It is so sad. What advice would you give to parents listening to this?
My advice is to educate, and my advice, especially those parents of kids who are very, very young, we have to reevaluate how we bring up our kids because obviously we're doing something wrong. For the last 20 years, a lot has changed. I've spoken to teachers, and they say the incidence of mental health and eating disorders has skyrocketed. So, you know, be parents, get parental guidance and training. And I don't know, we have to reevaluate how we bring up our kids. I don't know what the answer is.
Yep, that probably that's the challenge of it is to keep seeking answers even though they aren't that simple. Avremi Gerori, thank you for taking the time. Thank you for your vulnerability and your ability, your desire to talk about this and to educate all of us through your experience and through your pain.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.